And welcome back to the Clear Jets podcast. Your host, Ben Blessington and Michael Nania. Ugh, Michael, where do we even begin with this one? I think I'll just toss it over to you. Hopefully it doesn't get lost in the wind. But what do you think about this one?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think their transition went through pretty smoothly. I know it's really windy out here. You guys got to factor that in. It's a reasonable excuse if the transitions don't go smoothly, even if they're, you know, very short transitions, not really trying to do anything too over aggressive. No, I hope you guys got that analogy there. We were trying our best, but Zach Wilson, this is going to be the Zach Wilson criticism podcast. I think
we had something there. We needed to workshop that win joke, but yeah, I guess, is this the CYJ hit him up on Zach Wilson?
We had a bunch of takes on that, but I think ultimately the point is to set up exactly what you just said.
All bad. They all suck.
They're all very bad. not great idea. Not the best execution, kind of like the Jets offense in this game. Although maybe the ideas weren't great either, but anyway, the point is we're going in on Zach Wilson today. We're not pulling any punches this time around. I know you and I have both been fairly optimistic with Zach for the most part, and especially you, I think, more so than me. Although I think I've been on the optimistic side.
Throw me
too.
Under the bus in 30 seconds in, Michael. Go ahead.
No, I'm optimistic. No, you're right. You're right. Zach Wilson too. I'm definitely along for the ride with you on that. But yeah, it's time to start going in, and it's time to start putting it like it is, that he's not being the guy that the Jets drafted him to be, that they thought he would be at this point of his career, that they need him to be for this team to win games right now. But we'll dive deeper into it. So I guess I'll throw it back to you. Oh, it's getting pulled away by the wind. You guys got to factor that in. Don't forget that. Oh, whoa, you got it. You got it.
Yeah,
all right, no, there we go.
Yeah, now that Mac Jones is back on offense, the wind has died down. Yeah, I mean, that was brutal. The only saving grace, Michael, is that I had looked at Twitter before. I was streaming it, so it was a little behind, and I looked at Twitter right after the third down because I was amazed that he just missed Elijah Moore and whatever that play call was in the third and one. And so I looked right at Twitter and I saw that they'd run back the punt, and I just turned off the TV and went home. I was just done. I was at least saved from that. I did go back and watch it. Seems like there's a few block of the backs on that punt return, but that's not the reason the Jets lost this game. It, credit to the defense, because I know you tweeted this out. It kind of just felt like at some point they're going to have to make, because the offense is giving them nothing. But the defense, another amazing performance. You know, I know the Patriots had a few big plays and the tackling was a little shaky in the first half, but I mean, this defense is for real. And if they had any semblance of any success on offense, this would have been a Jets win. And it's really hard to sit here and to act like Zach Wilson, like you said, like that he's been anything close to what we thought we would be getting when we drafted him or even heading into the season. There's been little glimpses of success with Zach going back to even the last game. I think that did a lot in terms of our confidence level in him. But even that was, you know, a quick passing game. Where he was managing the game, being a game manager. In this game, the Patriots, like we said in the preview pod, took away a lot of that underneath stuff. They did a nice job with the QB spies and not allowing Zach to really use his legs after the first few possessions. And he looked completely lost out there. I mean, we make the jokes about the wind. I'm sure it was somewhat of a factor, but it's not good enough. He didn't look like an NFL quarterback today, and really discouraging and disheartening. Just the only way I can describe it. It's just I'm so sick of losing to these fuckers. I hate it. It's just, of course this had to be against the Patriots. And as horrible as that ending was, I think part of the reason we're all depressed about it, but it just did feel like the Jets deserved to lose that game, you know?
Right. Yeah. That was sort of my reaction. I mean, I always record my reactions to everything in hopes to catch some crazy stuff, but I didn't really have that wild of a reaction to that, because I don't know, it just kind of felt like that was inevitable for most of the game. You know, you just kept going through this cycle in the second half where, you know, the Patriots would have a decent drive, then the Jets would get a big sack or a big play for a loss right around field goal range, and you'd get that momentum back and you'd give the ball back to the offense and you'd be like, all right, we just get one field goal drive here, that's all we need. But then they'd punt it back, and they do the same exact thing. They get a couple first downs, stop them again, get the ball back, three and out, and just rinse and repeat. So it just never really felt like the Jets, they were just so inept on offense that it didn't feel like they were ever going to do what they needed to do to win, because it just seemed so hard for them to move the ball. Even that last drive where they almost kind of got something going, it was just because of that one holding penalty. Other than that,
they didn't
really have anything.
No.
So it's crazy when you get these games where it just seems so difficult to move the football. Even when it was third and one, third and two, it felt insurmountable. So I don't know. I never really felt like they were going to do what they need to do to win. So when the punt return happened, I was like, okay, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the straw that breaks their back. But to the defense's credit, like you said, it wasn't their back that got broken. It was the special teams. You know, I just continued waiting for the defense to make that big mistake, and they never did it. And it wasn't the cleanest defensive performance. You know, they gave up yards and the ball got moved on them. They missed some tackles underneath. The dink and dunk game kind of got them a little bit. But at the end of the day, they gave up 3 points. And I know, you know, Nick Folk missed two field goals, but even tackles on, you still give up 9 points, no touchdowns. So they just continued responding. They got no help. They got no rest, no field position, absolutely nothing from the other phases of the game. But they just kept going out there and getting big stops when the Jets needed them and giving the offense every chance it could ask for. As an offense, you're not supposed to have a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter when you have 3 points on the board. But the defense was able to give them the opportunity to do that. So credit to the defense. I think before we get in to Zach a little bit more, we got to touch on that defense. You know, like we said, some of it wasn't perfect. I think the linebackers and safeties kind of had some issues with tackling underneath, but corners were locked down again. The defensive line got after it with another, I believe, 6 sacks in this game. And
yeah,
they're all from different players, so everyone was getting in on the action. So fantastic defensive performance. This was as good as any game they played this year, possibly their best considering the circumstances. So this is, it's a legitimate championship caliber defense. It really is, the way they're playing on a weekly basis now. You can win a Super Bowl with this defense. You absolutely can. Plenty of worse defenses have won Super Bowls. And even the defense first teams that do win Super Bowls, this unit is on the same caliber as some of those units, with just the way that they carry this entire team, because it's not a complimentary football team right now. It's not that at all. But the defense continues to have these performances where they're so strong in spite of having to be the only reason the Jets win the game. We saw it in Green Bay. We saw it in Denver. Now we're seeing it again in this game. So defense is fantastic, but the positives stop there. So I guess you want to start with Zach Wilson?
Well, yeah, we can. I mean, and I would say that this was the game that you really saw how much they missed Breece and AVT.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of similar to the Denver game, because if you remember the Denver game, without that big Breece Hall touchdown, they don't win that game. And yeah, then the Pats game, the first Pats game in that first half, you know, you saw Zach opening it up a little bit and he had some nice plays, and he played about as good of a half that he's played. And then that second half, he completely melted down. And then, as we said, with the Bills game, he did a nice job with the quick passing game, moving the football. But this one was the type of game where they really just needed that running game to get going. And yeah, I mean, missing Herbig, I'm curious to see what exactly happened there, considering he was active 90 minutes before kickoff. It seemed like something must have happened in pregame warmups where he decided he couldn't go. And Zach was bad in this game. Absolutely. This will not be I won't be making any hyperbolic statements on Zach.
I know you said someone said the
that wasn't really the use of it. Yeah. I'm not, Zach doesn't have, you can't really defend Zach's game in this one. And I won't, you know, we don't want to be homers on this podcast. I think, you know, you try to be optimistic as fans and you want to be measured in your analysis as analysts, I guess, but there's nothing to defend here. The only thing you can say for Zach is that the offensive line was atrocious. I don't think Michael Floor's game plan was any good. The running game wasn't getting going, and there's a few drops. So it wasn't entirely all on him.
Right.
But,
yeah. Like,
but he's the quarterback, you know, like,
wants.
Yeah, exactly. Those things aren't exclusive, but at the end of the day, he's the quarterback. And there were plays on the field that he could have made that he just didn't make. I honestly don't even know where to start with this, Michael. I mean, I just feel it was just an ugly game. I mean, I think the start of the game, like, I know that you were feeling okay about his performance until that one pass that he threw that just looked like it was right to McCourty. Was that right at the end of the half?
Yeah, that was close to the end of the first half. And I think that's a good place to kind of start with it, because prior to that, I was kind of liking where things were going. And, that's not to say he was great or anything, but just process wise, it felt decent. He threw the ball away a few times. He scrambled at least once, maybe twice. I don't know. But
hey, I did see a tweet from you that said super impressed before I got.
I did. So I was like,
was that hyperbolic?
At that point. That was likely hyperbolic, I would say. So we're already at 2. The over-under was 2.5. Someone, one of the listeners prior to this podcast said it at 2.5. So we're at, well, you said it twice. I said it once. So we're getting close to that. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. I like the way he started. But Robbie Sabo has talked about this a lot. It feels like every single Zach Wilson game this gets brought up, that he has this switch where he makes a mistake and it just snowballs from there. Like, he's not one of these quarterbacks that has that, the buzzword that gets used all the time, the short memory. He doesn't have that. He absolutely lets his mistakes affect his game. And that's what Robbie always talks about. He'll make that big mistake, the switch gets flipped, different quarterback. And I think that play absolutely was that, because prior to that point, again, I don't think he was good, but just from a process standpoint, I think it was okay the way he was playing. But he throws that one, which is as bad as it gets. I mean, just a standstill on the numbers throw to a DB for an easy interception that gets dropped. And then from there, and I believe that was the last pass he threw the half, and he comes out in the second half, and it felt like he took last week's Bills game to too much of an extreme, that mentality that he played with. It felt like he was safe to a fault. There were plays there to be made that he wasn't making. I rewatched some of these plays, and there were routes open that he was just hesitant to hit. And you could see him just in the pocket, double clutching, hesitating, maybe taking some sacks he didn't have to. And then the accuracy was just wildly inaccurate. And I know he makes the excuse of the wind and all that, but Mac Jones was on the other side completing every single pass. And, they weren't in the deep game what Mac Jones was doing, but he had no problem completing his checkdowns and his dump offs. But Zach Wilson is airmailing passes over Berrios' head. He's got to make Denzel Mims leap to catch a pass. Your biggest receiver at 6'3". There was the pass.
The Conklin one over the middle was the worst.
The Conklin one over the middle was bad.
On the near pick.
There was one to Elijah Moore that he shorted.
But can we stop there for a second? That yeah. Conklin play that we've mentioned a few times now that should have been intercepted by McCourty right before the half. Conklin's wide open. Yes. Wide open and could have had room to run, put him in field goal range, if not more. And it's like, yeah, like I do definitely wind affected some of the passes, but it's his mechanics. Look at his arm yes. on that throw. He's shorting it and his footwork is off too. I mean, do they have to bring John back? I mean, what is happening?
Doesn't look good at all. I mean, look, this whole game, the mechanics were terrible. There's one throw later, another miss, where Ty Johnson was on a wheel route and he had a step on him. And I don't know why Ty Johnson's playing so much in these third down situations. I don't agree with that. And, everyone watches this play and you complain like, oh, why are we throwing wheel routes to Ty Johnson on third down? And I agree with that. I would rather see Michael Carter in that situation.
But he had a step on him.
And he was open. It should have been a big play, but Wilson underthrows it and he watches feet on that play and he's like dancing around. There's just not calm at all. The mechanics are not what you need to see from a quarterback. He doesn't get that front foot pointed where it needs to be pointed. He just never seems steady or confident. It's really ugly to watch. It truly is.
Yeah, no, I mean, what I was going to say about the wheel route too, like as much as I think LaFleur deserves to be criticized, a wheel route against the type of defense the Pats are playing, heavy man coverage, playing underneath, that's a play that should be open. And it was open. Like you said, he had a step on him. And, as we've said, Zach has had some glimpses of good moments, but I feel like his deep accuracy has been maybe not the most underwhelming thing of his game, because it seems like a lot of the simple stuff he's missed. But he has not hit a single 9 route that I can remember in his entire – I mean, I know he had the Tennessee Titans game. No, and then,
like not a designed one.
Yeah, and then I guess the back shoulder to Mims, I mean, that looked like it should have been incomplete in this game, and then all of a sudden it just dropped right into Mims' hands. But his deep accuracy was something that was applauded coming out of BYU, and in the NFL it's been horrible. Horrible. I mean, and his accuracy as a whole hasn't been good, but the deep accuracy was something that coming out, I think you thought you would at least get at least some big plays out of with the type of arm talent that he has. Like, where's that pro day throw at? You know, like, is
right.
It's just, it's frustrating to be sitting here, but we'll get to the, I don't even want to get to any optimistic side. Like you said, I mean, it's like the only optimistic thing you could say is they're 6-4 and they have an elite defense and they bought themselves some time, but how much time? Because right now they went from an opportunity to be first place in the AFC East with this loss. They're now fourth in the AFC East and now they're eighth in the AFC. And look, there's 7 weeks to go. The standings right now don't really matter. Even if they were first place in the AFC East with a win, the chances that they would finish like at first place above Buffalo are still probably pretty low. But so the standings right now don't matter, but it's a tight AFC race. And I hate to bring it up, but you look back at 2015 and why didn't the Jets make the playoffs that year? It was those two losses to the Bills. And if we look back, it's possible these two Pats game could really cost them a playoff run. But the reality is, Michael, that even if they make the playoffs, without better quarterback play, they're not going anywhere.
Right. And you know, that's really the most disappointing part of this, because I think, you know, coming off that Bills game, you beat a great team and he corrects all those issues from the previous Pats game. It looks really steady. And you're like, you know, we can win games if this guy plays like this every single week. But it only takes a one game turnaround for him to erase all of that progress and have another game that's on the level of that first Patriots game. And I think that's the biggest problem with his season this year is, you know, you expect young quarterbacks to be unstable and erratic and have up and down seasons where, you know, plus game, minus game, just alternating. But the severity of his lows is way, way, way too low for you to feel optimistic about him. It's not like he has games where it's like, all right, it's not really clicking today. There's a couple good plays in there, a couple mistakes. You know, we can sharpen this up next game. Now, he has these games where he's dragging the whole team down. This is the second time in three games that they lose, and it's primarily because of him. And even the two games prior to that previous Patriots game, they, you know, if they did lose those games, it would be because of him against the Broncos and the Packers. So it's the severity is too low, is what I'm trying to say. Like, you understand the young quarterbacks are going to have their ups and downs, but how low he goes when he's bad is, it's as bad as any quarterback in the league, with the easy misses, accuracy wise, with the interceptable passes he throws. And then even just reading the field, some of the plays he missed. I mean, the one play that really stood out when I briefly skimmed through some of his passes rewatching, that fateful 3rd-and-1 play in the fourth quarter where, you know, the Jets empty it out and we're like, why are we emptying it out? Why are we passing on 3rd-and-1? And I agreed those things. I would prefer to run as a legitimate criticism for LaFleur. I would like to just pound the ball there, especially because I think Robinson had a good run just before that. I would like to run the ball there, but they don't. And they, you know, he throws it short of the 6. Carter gets tackled. And now we complain to LaFleur. But you watch it again, and Elijah Moore is wide open on a drag route over the middle. The pocket's clean. Zach is looking at it. He passes on it, and he's late to throw to Carter, and he lets the defenders rally to make the tackle. He also could have hit Carter earlier, and he had space to hit it. So you can criticize LaFleur for not running, but the play he drew up would have been a first down with average quarterback play, but he can't make these simple plays. So the bad games are way too catastrophic. They're way too damaging to the offense, and because of the way the defense is playing, they're damaging to the team's chances of winning as a whole. So that's what is really frustrating. His bad games aren't just a couple fixable errors away from being something you could build on. They're just absolute disasters. So it's getting very difficult to picture him being the guy for this team.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to phrase it. I we should counter that with, and people are going to roll their eyes, it's still too early, but it's getting to a point where the defense is playing so well that, and they're in a position to make the playoffs that, when I don't, do you consider a move? Not, he's going to be the starter next week, absolutely. But if they drop a game to the Bears, like the magic coin is predicted they will. Maybe this is the coin prediction, honestly, is that they go and drop the game to the Bears, they make the QB switch, and that's what leads them to the AFC championship.
That'd be hilarious.
But how bad does it have to get for you to say, think that the Jets make a quarterback switch, which I guess it would be to Mike White, considering he's next.
Right. I mean, I was thinking about this earlier, like what is the point where a change gets made? Because I feel like I'm sort of on the fence with going into the next game, because the only thing that makes me think it I agree.
They're at home, bad Bears defense, you know.
I don't think it will, but the only thing that makes me think there might be somewhat of a chance is, and I guess this is another topic we should hit on, is the post game. A lot of stuff transpired in this post game, comments from various people, including Zach himself, and kind of how all that went down. I don't really read into post game comments too much and all that. I think it's overrated, like, you know, especially after a game, you know, their emotions are running high and all that. So I don't read into it a lot typically, but personally, I'm not a huge fan of the way he handled it.
Yeah.
After the game, you know, not taking accountability. You know, they asked him, do you feel like the offense, do you remember the exact phrasing? It was, do you feel like the offense let the defense down? And
do you feel like you let the defense down? And in fairness, like, yeah, he should have just taken accountability of it. He should have just said yes. He should have done what Josh Allen did a few weeks ago when he lost to the Jets. But like you said, like, I think it's a bad look and hopefully learns from it, but I don't really care as much about that. I mean, that's a guy who's just pissed about it. He knows he played like shit. You know, would be more interesting to see how he, and considering that John Franklin Myers is liking tweets about Zach Wilson.
That's what I was going to throw in, because it's more than just that. Like you said, John Franklin Myers liking that tweet is, I know this is, you know, social media antics, looking at likes and all that, but that does matter when a guy is, you know, on social media right after a game, liking criticism of his quarterback, or, you know, supporting that criticism.
Yeah, it was more criticism how he handled the post game. He definitely should have just taken accountability of it. But at the same time, I don't really care about it. It's not, he knows he played like shit. It's more about
I mean, I know Salah said he didn't consider going to White in this game, but also when they asked him if they think the quarterback held the team back, he didn't really deny it. He said, I don't know. And then Garrett Wilson kind of had comments where he's like, you know, this has to be better. We're better than this. We have the guys, some stuff like that. So I don't know. It seems like there are starting to be some rumblings of, you know, maybe that it's starting to turn a little bit in terms of the locker room.
I mean, I think that's pretty speculative to say. We don't actually know what's going on in the locker room, and everything they've said about Zach leading up to this week is how much they believe in him. And I'm sure that this type of loss certainly affects that, but none of us are in the locker room. So it's hard to say that, but yeah, I'd imagine if I was on that defense and the type of performance they just had compared to what the offense put up, yeah, you're pissed. Of course you're pissed, but it's just when is enough enough? You know, when do you have to say, you know what, Zach, you're not ready, and put him on the bench? And, you know, it's early in his career. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. There's 7 games left.
I think for me,
QB options.
I think the window is open starting with this next game in terms of if he goes into another funk mid game. I think starting with this next game, you have to make that switch if it happens.
Strebler. I'm just kidding. It's good.
Love to see him, but it's.
I'd love to see Trevor. Like, all that guy does is win. But I think you're right. Yeah, I think the leash is probably a little shorter in this Bears game. However, I'll say this: I think they should open up the passing game though in this Bears game. Do you agree with me there? I mean, this is a bad Bears defense, and I do feel like, you know, you listen to what Garrett Wilson was saying after the game, that they have to trust the receivers a little bit more, and I agree with
that. That's
him.
What he said. Yeah.
It's like, 2nd and 10, how many 2nd and 10 runs right up the middle for 1 yard do we need to see before we decide, okay, the run game's not working. The Patriots are really keyed into it. The offensive line's getting no push. You got to start throwing downfield. And it's because they don't trust their quarterback, but sometimes Zach Wilson's at his best when he's playing loose and playing confidently. And that's a hard thing to manufacture mid game, but it does feel like at a certain point, you got to just take the reins off, see what happens. And then if it's not looking good, switch it over to Mike White. But clearly the mindset with this game was, okay, you lost the last game from turning the ball over and throw, you know, they open it up. He's throwing downfield. He threw for 355 yards or whatever, but he lost the game with the turnovers. And so the mindset for this game was protect the football, you know, just run the, we can win an ugly game against the Patriots. And, you know, look, if they punted that ball out of bounds, who knows what would happen in overtime, but the quarterback play is just so atrocious. And without any sort of run game, how are you supposed to win? So I'm kind of the mindset. It's like, open it up a little bit in the Bears game. Let him throw downfield. See if you can get him going. And if it's not working, then maybe you contemplate a switch to Mike White. But if this conservative game plan, if you're not able to run the football, it's not really going to work. And here's the other thing. What could LaFleur have done on the first watch? And, like, you know, we say it all the time in the post game pods, and it's annoying because why would you listen to the pod if we don't have all the information yet? But we haven't seen the coach's film, so you can't fully analyze his performance and Michael Floor's performance. But it did seem like the play calling was just completely anemic. Like, where was any sort of bootlegs or, you know, he was having success with his feet. And I know they put the QB spy in there, but it's like, read options or just getting Zach Wilson out of the pocket and relying on his legs. And, you know, look, like, he was trying to give him some easy throws and he was missing them, but it did just feel like any of those crossing routes, it just didn't seem like, do you agree with me there? I mean, what is there anything that LaFleur didn't do that you would have liked to see more of against this look?
I mean, there were certain situations where I didn't really like what LaFleur did. There was that one 3rd-and-3 run they had, which I thought was a really silly idea just because they weren't running the ball well at that point. You know, the 3rd-and-1 pass later. And again, he actually dialed up a good play. It should have been converted, but I still would probably prefer to run there. And there were maybe a few other third downs that aren't coming to mind right now that, you know, maybe pass run, didn't like the decision there. But I don't know. Overall, feel it's kind of hard to differentiate the coaching versus the quarterback performance, you know.
This is what the game felt like, and I apologize. Somebody tweeted this during the game, and I forget who did it, so I'm totally about to steal somebody's tweet. But it was basically like, first down, Zach Wilson fuck up. Second down, 2nd and 10, run up right up the middle as punishment. And then 3rd down, impossible situation. That's kind of what the game just felt like. It was just 3rd and long, and he's going to get sacked, or there's just no really chance for the Jets. And that was the entire game. The entire offense, especially in the second half, was just 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to call games when you don't trust your quarterback, but it does feel like LaFleur deserves some accountability, because also Zach Wilson's development is an indictment on LaFleur. Like, I understand that it's on Wilson this game and his performance, but at the same time, it's LaFleur's job to develop Zach Wilson. And does he look any better than he did coming into the league? There's some things that at times that Bills game, there's times where you see that he looks like he's starting to get it. But like you said, the lows are just so low. And you go back to the game he had against the Patriots in his rookie year. Was it any better? No, he turned the ball over more, and he, you know, he had like threw the ball a little bit more, you know, downfield, especially in the fourth quarter, but he doesn't look any more like an NFL quarterback. He doesn't look any more comfortable. He doesn't seem like he's reading the field at all. It's just, man, it's disheartening. Is it over for Zach Wilson? No, as much as fans roll their eyes at that and are ready to run him out of town. And I don't blame him based off that game, but it's not over for him, but he's going to have to grow up. And pretty in terms
close.
Of the,
it's getting close, it's not, I would say.
Yeah. I guess, getting there, but the Bears game is the one where it's like, if he's really struggling against that Bears defense, they'll pull him. They have to pull him. You can't, with this locker room and all the momentum and the culture that they're trying to build, they can't tank this season trying to hitch their wagon to Zach Wilson's development, because you'll lose the locker room and you'll lose some of the good that they've done this year. But again, if they go out there and beat the Bills or the Bears and Zach Wilson plays well, and now you're 7-4, you're not sending him to the bench. But do I have any confidence that Zach Wilson will go into Buffalo in even worse conditions and do anything with that football? I mean, they might have the Patriots Bill Belichick game plan from last year, where they run the ball every play and he throws 3 times. But unless the offensive line's getting any sort of push, I mean, they won't do anything. It's really, I mean, hopefully they get Herbig back. It sounds like Max Mitchell should be able to come back at some point soon, so maybe the offensive line will look a little bit better. But that's really the thing with Zach Wilson that I don't think enough people talked about in the pre-draft process. Is like, all right, every play he has 5 seconds to throw at BYU. He trusts his offensive line, and he's back there playing mad with no fear of getting hit. I'm not to say that he didn't take any sacks, but his average time to throw at BYU was ridiculous. And it's like in the NFL, and Matt Judon even said it, it seems like their pressure comes and he takes his eyes off downfield. He starts looking down at the pressure because his eyes change from pass to I got to make a guy miss. And as soon as he does that, the timing of the play is all off. I mean, it's a timing-based offense. And for all of Tua Tagovailoa's flaws, he's a damn good quarterback in rhythm playing within the timing of the offense. And that's Zach Wilson isn't at this point in his career. So, yeah, I don't know. There's not much more else to say about Zach outside of not good. Not good enough. Accuracy
I
bad.
mean, and you brought up offensive line. That's, I think, another issue in this game is, like, run game offensive line is pretty terrible.
Horrible.
We can all agree on that. But you look at the passing plays. Like, I put out a cut up of some of Zach's worst plays in this game.
Oh, nice.
Was,
all right.
I think it was, yeah, I don't know, I'm a huge supporter.
Do we check? Do we want to look at the replies to that tweet?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of very, very measured responses to that. But yeah, it's like, I think six plays, and the pockets are pretty good in all of them. I mean, I don't think the pass pro is that bad in this game. Just brief rewatching from what I've seen so far, I don't know if it was that bad, the pass protection. Like I said, run blocking, terrible. I think they missed Herbig. He's been really solid in the run game. And Feeney typically isn't very good there, so I'm assuming that was probably where a big downgrade happened in this game. So run blocking has to be a lot better, and having Herbig back should help. But pass protection, I like a lot of these misses he had are clean pockets. Look at that first interception or near interception he threw, where he overthrew Conklin. That's a good pocket. You look at the one he threw later in the game. That was a good pocket. I mean, and the two screens he missed, absolutely nobody near him. Like, that really wasn't a problem in this game, the pressure in terms of the throws he missed. And that honestly brings up another issue, because there are just so many problems. The themes are, it's not like there's one or two themes at this point, because, you know, what were we talking about 2 games ago? It was the pressure. He can't, you know, like, what are his numbers under pressure? He can't throw under pressure, or when he does get pressured, he bails too much, or he doesn't step up. Well, now in this game, there are a ton of clean pocket plays, and he's not hitting throws out of clean pockets, and he's not hitting screens, and he's not hitting dump offs. So it's like, what can you do? What does he do well right now? It's hard to pin that down and really say. And that's why I, you know, sympathize with LaFleur, because it's like, what can he hang his hat on with his passing game? You thought you found something with the Bills game, but
his eyes match his spearmint gum or whatever.
That's true.
Whatever it is, mint blue or whatever. You notice that? All right, never mind.
I mean, that is a good point. It's interesting. I mean,
he can hang his hat on that. He's got pretty eyes.
Yeah, I mean, that for sure. But I mean, you would hope that that would help him, you know, maybe see through the wind a little bit better, kind of anticipate that, but obviously doesn't have that advantage.
Maybe he's got to put the visor back on. Maybe that's what's holding him back. Yeah, he's lost his swag as a quarterback.
Yeah, that also might be it. But yeah, like what I was saying is, you know, you thought you found something in that Bills game, like the quick passing.
The Pats took it away.
But the Pats take that away, and then he didn't have an answer to it. So, and you know, I guess the Jets, you know, LaFleur didn't do the best job of finding other answers either. But I mean, you know, how different does the game look if Zach Wilson hits those two checkdowns and maybe they go somewhere and you get ahead of the chains, or if the run blocking is just better? And then, you know, back to Zach, you know, if he hits that wheel route to Ty Johnson, or actually on that one pass he airmailed to Berrios, Conklin is, that wasn't a
wide
screen.
Open.
It was
wide open.
Conklin was wide open up the seam, and he passes on it and then goes to Berrios underneath. It was just, he was awful in this game. Absolutely.
I know it's different when you're on the field compared to watching it on television. Absolutely. But I don't think there's another quarterback in the league that I've watched where I'm screaming that the guy's open before he's seen it. It's like every play, I'm like, Conklin, 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 and it misses him. Or Uzama's open. Uzama's, like, I'm seeing it on the broadcast. Look, I'm on the couch. I get it. He's out there in the trenches, so it's different. But it does seem like his field vision is all over the place, you know? And he's taking his eyes off downfield. And like, yeah, the Pats did a great job of, I mean, look, we should have known Bill Belichick having the bye week to scheme against a young quarterback wasn't going to look too great. But we talked about in that preview pod, he's going to take away the underneath stuff. How do you counteract that? And you're going to have to throw downfield some bit sometimes. But he either A, doesn't trust his arm because of the wind or whatever, and the offensive line wasn't holding up. So then all that easy stuff underneath isn't there, and they have a QB spy, so he can't really run. And then, yeah, whether it's wind or confidence in his arm or field vision or offensive line, then they can't get anything downfield, and then the run game's not there. So that was the story of this game. And look, I didn't think it's going to be this ugly, but you kind of expected, okay, it's going to be an ugly defensive game, but not this bad, man. This was Adam Gase so bad on offense, and they have too much talent on that side of the football for it to look like that. The offensive line is horrible. Like, that deserves more credit than it's getting. I mean, the fact they do have three backups in, I guess, but Tomlinson has been underwhelming as a free agent signing. McGovern is a jag. Feeney's okay for depth, but losing Herbig was big. I thought Ogbuehi looked good in that Bills game, but not great in this one. And, you know, Brown's been all right. You know, what can you expect from a 39-year-old playing with a torn rotator cuff? But the O-line is not great, and it's definitely affecting him. I mean, there's just – he doesn't know how to play under pressure or how to trust his offensive line.
I thought you were just going to stop right there. Like,
he doesn't know how to play. He does seem a little – he did seem a little broken, and he seemed – he's – there's been plenty of games where at times he seemed broken. And then the next game, a week later, he reset, maybe he gets his confidence going, and he might come out and have a great game against the Bears. But it'll be hard to forget this game as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, because it'll be hard until we see him go into Buffalo or one of these. I know he beat Buffalo at home, but I'm saying until we see him overcome a bad start like this or win those ugly games or make big plays when it's not that, when the easy stuff isn't there, it'll be hard to look at him as an NFL quarterback. And it's okay if he's a project, but it's not what you expect when you take a guy number two overall. You know, it's like, okay, it's Zach Wilson could, you know, look at Geno Smith now, a decade later, turned his career around.
Just give it 10 years and we'll be all good.
Yeah. Zach Wilson has all the physical traits to be a good NFL quarterback, but the mechanics aren't there and what's going on between the years isn't there. And I think that, yes, he deserves a lot of blame, but LaFleur deserves blame too, because he's the guy who's tasked with developing him and he doesn't look any better. And I don't know. I know it's hard to call a game when you don't trust your quarterback, but I feel like the creativity or any semblance of a game plan to counteract it.
He deserves some blame, but just when you look at specifically the plays that are the ugliest from this game and just most of the season, it's like, what more can LaFleur do to make him complete a screen or not throw a pass to a DB who's just sitting there waiting for it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if LaFleur, maybe 10%. I don't know, but it's mostly Zach. More than himself. That, but
yeah, that's not a defense of Zach. I'm just saying, I think it was bad all around in offense.
Yeah, for sure.
I would have liked to see him get out of the pocket a little bit more, you know? Just get him out of there, because he's not comfortable there, and he's just hopping around dancing. And
didn't we say 2 games ago that we want less of that? We want him getting out quick.
Designed pocket. Yeah. I'm not talking about the improvisational circus scramble plays. I'm talking about, where's a PA boot?
I mean, he's not really good on those either, though. He's had a lot of trouble with accuracy on those.
Well, he's not great in the pocket right now, so I mean, anything.
I don't know. Just take a knee.
Well, and
that's what I was saying at the end of this game, is like, they probably have a better chance that they just take a knee and rely on the defense to get a takeaway than if they just
that's an indictment. It's quite the indictment. But yeah, I mean, I think those bootlegs at least open up some things for Zach, because he has the option to run. He's more comfortable there. And the way that the Patriots are playing entirely underneath, with a bunch of guys playing the sticks, it's like, when you get those little bootlegs, they're forced to be put in peril of, like, do I go after the quarterback or do I cover the guy behind me? It just seems like, I don't know. Like you said, it's entirely on Zach, but this podcast can't be an hour of just shitting on Zach. I mean, I guess it could be, but the offensive line's terrible. And LaFleur, I thought, was bad in this one too. And
even that, like, combination. I don't know if the offensive line's pass protection was terrible in this one.
The run game, though, I mean, was awful.
Yeah. For
they sure. Got no push in the run game.
But yeah, no, also, do you agree? I feel like I thought this a couple times, where the running back definitely had a chance to maybe get the last 1 or 2 yards they needed. Usually second down.
They can't break a tackle. They can't break a tackle.
I think the running back should be criticized too in this game.
Yes, I agree. And I love Michael Carter, but he's been underwhelming in this year.
Especially second down. I think it was Carter ahead of that 3rd and 1 at the end. I was like, all right, that's well blocked. Wait. He didn't get there. Like, I feel like there were quite a few of those.
Well, what happened to how elusive he was last year? It's like, I understand the O-line is bad, and the O-line was bad last year too, but it seems like Carter's not making anybody miss this year. And James Robinson, you know, you trade for a guy coming off a torn Achilles. I still like the move, and we'll see what happens, but he looks like he's running in quicksand out there. And Ty Johnson can't break a tackle to save his life, and he's just got straight line speed. I'd like to see Zonovan Knight, because at least maybe he brings you some of that home run hitting ability that they've lost with Breece Hall. But you know, it's not the end of the world. At least they'll be playing some meaningful games, but it feels like the quarterback isn't ready, and that sucks. But, you know, Belichick has his number. It's such also just such a bummer because this has been such a magical season that regardless how it turns out, sucks that we had to get swept by the Pats this year, you know? Like, it doesn't ruin everything, especially if they go to the playoffs, but it's like, this has been such a great season, but to have those two brutal games, the Pats, that they just totally let slip away.
Yeah, it definitely has the 2015 feeling, you know, with Rex on the Bills sweeping you. Yeah,
so worse than that in a way.
Definitely worse, but you know, but well, like you said, I think the implications could be similar in the end.
Do we want to talk about well, can we talk about the punt for a little bit? The punt, because I went back and watched it. Why the hell is he not punting it out of bounds? What was that?
Right.
And also, how many punts do we need to see line drive punts with no hang time?
Well, I will say though, the fact that it wasn't even close to being punted out of bounds is probably means that they didn't tell him to, right? So should we blame coaching for that?
Maybe they don't trust Braden Mann because he seems to have an untimely shank every once in a while. They're like, all right, buddy, just get this off. Don't worry about it.
Where has his 2020 tackling gone? Remember, yeah, that was one of the best things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Where was that?
Yeah, we would have had the number one pick in the draft if Braden Mann didn't make that insane tackle. Two of them, right? He had two of them, didn't he? He had the one against the Rams, and I thought he had another one, too.
He had, like, four tackles that season.
Yeah.
But and obviously, then, the Rams one was that big one.
Ugh. Yeah.
That's out the window. But, I mean, yeah, I had to look at it again. But you definitely want to punt the ball out of bounds there. I mean, you know, did you see the DeSean Jackson play? I feel like everyone should learn from that one.
Literally the same situation. Ugh. It's horrible. But, like, yeah, did I have much confidence that they were going to win that game in overtime? It kind of felt like they were just going to tie it or something. It was going to be a 3-3 overtime tie or maybe a 6-3 Pats win with a field goal in overtime. But to lose like that, man, now that has to go into the vault as one of like a, I don't know if it's going to go down as a classic Jets Pats game, but it'll certainly be a, you know, classic finish, I guess. Ugh, horrible. Just horrible. Horrible all around. We're talking about the defense, I guess. Do you think that Sauce Gardner play at the beginning of the game was a fumble?
No. When I watched it at first, I was like, why are we playing this out? That was clearly a breakup, you know, an incompletion. Then you rewatch, it's like, wait a minute.
He takes three steps.
You can make that argument.
He takes three steps. Like, the first step is while he's catching the ball, 1-2, ball out. He doesn't really make a football move, but I feel like if that was the Jets, that's a fumble. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I kind of leaned incompletion, but on the replay, you could see if they called it fumble, that they probably would stick with it. You know what I thought was interesting though was that you remember that fumble that Wilson had on that sack?
Yeah, but that was not a fumble.
I know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, why did they even let that play out? It was like, that was so obvious.
Well, because if they blow the whistle and it turned out to be a fumble, then it wouldn't have been a touchdown. So a lot of times they just let the play run and then they call it back. That's fine. Although I think the refs were
just really obvious though.
The Jets didn't lose this game because of the refs, but I don't think the refs were that good in this one either. There was a blatant roughing the passer on Wilson where he gets his helmet smacked, and that's clear automatic 15. If you touch the quarterback's head, it's a penalty. And it's like, all right, you took a pick six off the board. I mean, I don't know if it's the same group. It probably wasn't, but Jets lost a pick six on a roughing the passer a few weeks ago, and it's like, that should have been a first down for the Jets. They probably wouldn't have done anything with it, but still. And it's also like, the Pats have offensive PI on literally every single passing play. Every passing play is offensive PI. Just never called, but whatever. And then the block in the back at the end too. Uzama right at the start. I went back and watched it. Right when the guy catches the ball or whatever, Uzama felt like he got pushed in the back because immediately he throws his arms up like, hey, where's the flag? And then the one on Hardy was, you know, he had already kind of run by him. But still, if they throw that, it would have been 15 yards from the spot of the foul and they would have been around midfield. They would have had a chance maybe, but that was a very clear block in the back too that didn't get called. But again, the way the Jets offense played, this is not the refs. I mean, we can't be shit talking the refs.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about that play. I mean, special teams has really gone downhill recently.
Well, I will say Zerline did hit that kick where it looked like he was kicking into a hurricane.
Two in a row he hit.
Yeah, two in a row. And Folk tried to help us out too. By shanking his kicks.
It would have been yet another game that the Jets very much won because of their kicker, if they were able to pull it out. So he's been a plus.
With Breece and AVT, they win this game. But you can't play that game. There'll always be injuries. Next year, we'll have going into the year, be like, everybody's healthy. We got a great team. And then you lose more people. But it's just like, if they can't run the ball and the team takes away what's underneath and the QB spy Wilson, I mean, you just saw the formula. if there's wind, you can't throw, I guess. I'm very curious to see how he responds to this, though. I will say that. That's the thing that it's obviously his performance is disheartening, but I'm excited to see next week. Are you? I'm just excited to see how he responds to it. It might be ugly. It might be horrible, but it's at least we're setting the stage for down the stretch. It's like either Zach is going to have to play well or they're going to throw him on the bench. And now we'll see if Justin Fields plays or not. You know, the last thing we need is Fields to lighten up the Jets defense and Zach Wilson shit in the bed and losing that game. But that's what the coin is predicted. Although the COIJ coin had us losing this game and then winning that one. The off-brand Neuter Nation coin.
Yeah, the great value coin.
Yeah. We had them losing in the Super Bowl, so we'll see. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, go ahead. Answer what you just said, I wouldn't say I'm excited anymore to watch him. I feel like this game... This game kind of lost.
You'll be excited. I know it feels like that. But
I'm not because maybe, here's the thing about where we
intrigued are. Intrigued is maybe a better word. Maybe intrigued is a better word.
The thing about where we are at this point is we are seven. He's played seven games, right, this season. And, you know, he's been good in three of those. So it's getting to the point where it's like, okay, maybe he'll have a good game here or there. But
one, two.
If he's going to get this second season to the point where you could look at the whole body of work and say that is a significant improvement over his rookie year, if he's going to do that, he has to have a really good run from this point onward because there's a lot of bad stuff on the tape to this point of the season. And you can finish a year strong, but that momentum doesn't necessarily carry over. We saw that multiple times with Darnold. You know,
that's true.
His finish to the 2018 season, those last four games, and even his second half of 2019 is what we were categorizing at the time. Like, those things don't necessarily carry over. It's the whole season body of work that you really have to look at. And we're more than halfway through the season for Wilson, and he's not definitively better than he was last year, which is, you know, far less than what we expected. So if he's going to get to that point where he is, where, you know, where this whole second season is legitimately better, it's going to take a really hot finish over these next seven games here. So, you know, one game's not going to be enough. You know, one game, that bad game, that one good game, that's not going to be enough. He really has to start picking it up as soon as he can. So, you know, if he has one good game, like, it'll be cool to see, but it's not going to mean that much until he starts stringing them together.
No, that's a fantastic point you just made. But I guess intrigued is a better word. It's Zach Wilson back against the wall. You know those Boo Birds are going to come out next week if he's stinking up the joint. And they got a bad Bears defense. Then they got to go to Minnesota, who just got their ass kicked. That'll be an interesting one. Then they got to go to Buffalo, and I can't imagine that'll go too well for the Jets. And then they get two defenses that are also not that great. And then the Seahawks and then Dolphins. So, you know, some defenses in there that you'd hope that he could take advantage of, but plenty of games that, you know, especially with this loss, this is just such a tight AFC race that, yeah, they drop another game and then they're really behind the eight ball, which it sucks, the type of season they've had, but man, disappointing. I guess the positives is like the defense. The positives is the direction the Jets are going has been backed up with the way they've been this year. The negatives is that the QB is a major, major question mark. So if he shits the bed the second half of the season and they go into next year, then you're looking at Jimmy Garoppolo. You're looking at Derek Carr. You're looking at Aaron Rodgers. You're looking at the veteran quarterback market. I'd imagine maybe you go the rookie route. You know, it would certainly suck to have to go pay a quarterback a ton of money because it'll cost you in terms of being able to keep guys like, you know, Quinn is going to be up for an extension. He'll get that. But, you know, there's some veterans that they won't be able to sign or re-sign or bring back because they won't be able to have that quarterback in the rookie deal or whatever. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but those are the things you have to imagine. You think about when your young quarterback doesn't look, maybe they draft another guy to push with him. But again, way too early for any of those discussions because they have seven games left. But I think that Bears game is the first game where it does seem like if he's not playing well, that they could consider a quarterback change. I think the thing is, though, is the defense is so good that they'll kind of always be in those games. I guess that makes it more likely for a quarterback. What do you think? How good the defense is, it kind of seems like they'll be in these games outside of, you know, maybe the Bills one. But down the stretch, they should be in all of these games with the type of defense they have. And if the quarterback isn't playing well, do they just keep throwing Zach Wilson out there to give them chances to win it for them because they're still in the game or whatever? As opposed to if they're getting blown out, you feel a little bit more like, all right, we got to just see what else we have, get him out of there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I can see both of it, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, being in these games could increase the chance that it happens, because, you know, if you get another game like this one, where it's like, we are just absolutely stuck in a rut right now, and there's
the Bills game is going to look like that,
no hope of getting out of it, then I think that's where a quarterback change can maybe be that spark that you look for. Like, you remember that the Cardinals game from way back where Greg McElroy
came in. Yeah, but and he looked as bad as this one, though. Do you remember that? Did you watch that game?
He looked horrible in that game. I definitely watched it, but
they won like 7-6.
Details, but yeah, and then he won. And then I think people want him to start just because he won, but he's terrible.
Yeah, and then he got sacked like 13 times the next week against the Chargers and was injured. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not optimistic about what Mike White would do. I'm probably one of his biggest detractors, but like at some point, you got to try something different. You got
to
send.
I think I trust Mike White to make those quick split second decisions a little bit more. I think his field vision's better. But you lose some improvisation. But meaning like, who cares? But meaning you'll probably take more sacks. You lose maybe the ceiling from the quarterback play.
Concerns me from him is that, you know, when you play the style that I think he plays, you would like for the ball to be protected well, but he does throw a pretty high number of interceptions for.
All right. Well, hey, he's had another year. He's had another year in the system. You know.
Yeah, I guess. But isn't he like 27?
Yeah, but still, I mean, another year. But how many times has he? He's not a young pup, but still, he's had another year in the same system, you know, around the same team, and he's finally had NFL experience because last year, who knows? But no, they're not going to start Mike White this week. But I think there's a chance he could be the starter going to the Vikings game if Zach really doesn't play well here, because it's like you can't let Zach derail the type of season the Jets have had. It's just been too magical, and there's been just too many guys playing out of their minds in the defensive side of the ball to tank this type of season. But the other thing too is the receivers were starting to get angry on the field, visibly frustrated, and that's never a good sign. I mean, Garrett's a very animated guy, you can tell, and I loved what he had to say in the post game press conference. But on the field, you saw that one play where he was getting upset, and there was another one where Mims was not maybe upset, but like telling him where to put the ball more. And maybe explains Elijah Moore's trade request a little bit.
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll speculate on that one for till day's end, but you know.
There's also one throw came to mind with Elijah Moore. It was
when that was his best throw. The out route he had to him was his best throw of the day, I think. Or maybe the Mims back shoulder.
But. All right, that was a good one. But it was one that he missed. I think it was like a comeback. It might have been right before that.
Yeah, third down. I don't know what happened, but
down was the one with the penalty.
He dirted it. No. Well, maybe we're talking about
two. Oh, right. I do remember that one. So there's that one. Moore definitely won, and Zach came up short on that. There's another one later. It's like a comeback, and he kind of – Moore caught it, but he was out of bounds. You kind of remember what I'm talking about? He caught it, but pushed out. Well, either way, it kind of looked like, you know, when you watched it first, maybe it was contested. He was, you know, wasn't really window for it, but he did win on that one. But Zach kind of just floated it. Instead of throwing a little bit more of a line drive, getting it there quick. So kind of let the defender close the window. So Moore, this really should have been the breakout game. There were a lot of, and he did have a couple catches, but in addition to that, there were at least three plays right off the top of my head where he should have gotten a big catch. So I don't know. I'm starting to feel, I still don't condone the actions, obviously, but starting to see the perspective a little bit.
Well, you did say there's stuff going on inside this building that people don't know about. Maybe it's that the quarterback is airmailing passes in practice.
Right.
Who knows? You don't want to speculate too much, but man, that really sucked. That really, really sucked. That was about as disheartening. I don't think it's even fully sunk in. Like I'm at the point where I'm kind of like laughing about it, but I was just walking home and I was just completely disheartened. I was just like, oh my God. If these games come back to haunt us, that'll be brutal. But hey, at least they're in it. At least they're playing meaningful games. Is what we wanted.
This is what we wanted.
This
is the price of playing these games. You know, all the good moments, like the losses, actually are painful now, as opposed to previous seasons where it's like you don't care at all if they lose to the Saints in Week 15. But now when they lose, there's a price that comes with it. So every, you know, the good feels better, but also the bad feels worse. So
yeah,
you got to take both.
And more likely than not, the season will end in heartbreak. But at the very least, you can look back and see. Look, I don't want to talk in retrospect here. We still got 7 games left here. But the very least you can be happy with the culture is definitely changed here. But until they get the quarterback right, it just seems like, will they be able to compete? You know, maybe if you had Breece and AVT, you could ground and pound and play defense and keep winning games and just hope Zach makes the plays when you need him to. But without those two guys, you need your passing game to step up. Your best players on offense are your two receivers, Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. Also, he really misses Corey Davis, too. That's something that other right. people haven't really talked about as much.
Yeah,
but
that's another thing we should talk about. I mean, Mims, his opportunity in the spotlight has not gone too great.
That RPO that Zach had at the start of the game was a bullet right over the middle. It was a great throw, and Mims
that was a good
jumped,
throw.
Jumped for no reason and dropped it.
Yep.
You know, it seems like if he doesn't get his confidence going early in games, he's not able to rebound from it. You know, he's not able to respond and have play with that short term memory. Because if you catch that, who knows? Maybe he starts to feel himself. But you know, he started like 0 for 4 or something, or 0 for maybe. I mean, how many passing yards do you have today? Like 70.
77.
77 yards?
Yep.
Jesus.
How long are we going to start continue to justify these stats? Like, this is...
We're not justifying anything today.
No, I know we're not. I know we're not. But it's like, you know, at some point, you just got to look at it and be like, this is absolutely terrible, you know?
Oh, terrific. And you know, I mean, he's had his peaks, but who's been better for throughout 2 years? Darnold or Wilson?
Right. I actually
Gino, Gino, Gino and Zach. Mark Sanchez and Zach.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I was literally just about to read this tweet that I put out comparing through 20 games how these guys look. So you look at pass touchdowns through 20 games. Darnold 28, Sanchez 20, Gino 16, Zach 13. So less than half as many as Darnold. And like, think about, like, we like Darnold, obviously. But he wasn't, you know, a phenom or anything. He still had plenty of room to grow. And he had twice as many passing touchdowns as Zach has right now. You look at net yards per pass attempt, Darnold 5.9. Sanchez and Gino were both 5.7. Wilson 5.0. And this includes sack yardage. So that's yards per attempt adjusted for sacks. Then completion percentage, Darnold 59.7. Gino 56.8, Zach 56.2, and Sanchez 54.2. So he's arguably worse than all three of them with better weapons. Well, Sanchez, I would say, probably better because of the O-line, but definitely better than Darnold and Gino, and significantly. And he's worse than them in terms of the production. So it's doesn't look good, to say the least.
Ugh. I guess the one thing I'll say is I do trust Saleh to keep this locker room in check, you know, this week, to keep them on the right track. You know, like I don't feel like Saleh will lose this locker room. But if the quarterback keeps costing the games and they don't do something, that civil war might start. But he does seem like the type of guy that I think can handle these. I mean, they've done it all season long, handle adversity. And this week will be a big test for Coach Saleh and for Zach Wilson, because yeah, even I just reading now that the report from SNY, maybe you'll see it, but it was something about like, yeah, Jets players were frustrated with Zach Wilson walking around the locker room like he wasn't the reason they lost this game or whatever. You can see it. It's on Twitter. But yeah, man, pivotal week ahead for the Jets. I don't know if there's much else to say, man. I mean, any other things we want to get out in this therapy session? Anything else come to mind?
So is this going to be the new biggest game for the Jets in the past 7 years?
Yeah, every game we just keep making, this is the biggest. No, but for Zach Wilson, I mean, it's a big one, but no, that the next biggest game will be the one where, you know, either their season's on the line or playoffs are on the line or something like that. But no, this is a big opportunity for the Jets, and they didn't come through, but they've won enough games to put themselves in the position to make up for this type of loss. I mean, you figured they were going to lose a game after the bye, but man, we'll see. We'll see. How about the start of that game too, with the delay, and then it looked like a high school broadcast with one camera.
That was so weird.
I kind of liked it though. It was disorienting a little bit, but it was kind of nice. I was like, oh, it's like I'm there.
Yeah, it was like no camera angle changes. It was
no replays. Kind of
zoomed out a little bit. No replays. Scoreboard wasn't there for a little bit. It's like, this is interesting. It's almost like watching the film just kind of continuously. It was interesting.
Yeah. All right. I guess that's it. Anything else?
Well, the white on black is no longer perfect, but
to come to an end. I thought it looks great, though. I think it's a great look. It
does look great. The coin.
I see now why they're perfect, though. I understand now why they put the black trimmer on the numbers on the white jerseys is because I think they were planning this look when they announced these uniforms. But whatever. See what I'm saying? You know, the numbers in the white jersey have the black outline. And originally, I was like, well, yeah. Why would you even do that? But no, it makes sense.
All right. It does make more sense now. That's a good point.
Yeah. These are the important things, Michael. Yeah. All right. I guess we're done. You can follow us at CYJ Pod on Twitter. Myself, Ben W. Blessington, Michael at Michael_Nania. Go to JetsXFactor.com. Best place to go for Jets content. Subscribe to the Jets X Factor YouTube. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. We will actually be back. Well, we'll be back on Friday. I know our schedule is a little weird this week, but Thanksgiving, I don't know. Maybe we'll record it. What do you think? I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Figure it out. Yeah.
We got to get back on our schedule, though. Last week, we were a day late on both of them. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great week. And as I used to say at the end podcast in 2020, don't let the Jets ruin your life.